Please be seated. Be on your guard. A clear and present danger is ahead. This first line of my sermon is a quote from the gospel, that sermon I wrote on Thursday. When I preached it last night at the 5 p.m. service in the midst of a thunderstorm, it held a whole new emphasis. I have to say, I'm tired of having to rewrite sermons due to gun violence in our country. But this stepped beyond gun violence to domestic terrorism due to racist resentment and hate. This week, our national cathedral, our Episcopal National Cathedral, and also the leaders of many of the denominations of a clergy group in the Baltimore area wrote amazing letters in response to the racist rhetoric and demeaning of our cities by the government this week. I'll try and link those to the net news this week. For me, those two letters were a ray of hope as I searched for voices to rise from those in power and authority. Simply making phone calls and donating money didn't seem to be doing much. But we can't stop. And then the 9/11 call went out in El Paso, the third this week. It was a Walmart that is sometimes called the Mexican Walmart because it's so close to the border. So now, I'm going to preach the sermon that I thought I could preach on Thursday morning when I finished it, on the scriptures you just heard. And if you listen with Christian ears, you are all smart enough to fill in between the lines, because this sermon actually still works. Jesus didn't take sides. He always spoke about the poor, the widows, even those with small children, and the prisoners in cages. He always spoke for the people on the margins. And these scriptures don't take sides either. They are looking at every single one of us. So, be on your guard, says Jesus. I take these words seriously. As I told the folks at all three services on Wednesday this week, I don't have my sermon thought through today. I'm still wrestling with these scriptures. I actually chose the alternate Hebrew scriptures offered in the lectionary because starting with this image of God as the faithful parent brings somehow God closer in our wrestling. I know what it's like to be a parent who hangs in there with patience. And I depend on God every single day to be there to help me. There was a time in my 20s when I was not a parent, and I was a newly trained teacher. And often I would hear from parents, they would say to me, "Oh, Susan, you'll understand better when you have your own kids." At first, I was really resentful. I really worked hard in college to be trained to be a teacher. And I loved the kids I worked with, all of them first graders. But I knew there was truth to what they were saying when I saw my younger sister with her two children. It was then that I started asking more questions of my students' parents, and I started listening way better. And I actually did become a better elementary school teacher. Today's gospel is not a story about productive land and how to take care of it. It's a story about some random rich guy, the owner of the land, who thinks he comes first. He can't see the people who actually are doing all the work, Apparently, they are not worthy of even a little consideration. Getting the crop in, taking down those barns and putting up more, that required workers, a lot of them. And there were no John Deere around in the first century. Jesus tells us that this is a story about greed. But if that's true, then greed is not an inner desire, a coveting, or anything else like that. Greed comes down to not seeing the people who are doing the real work, the work we don't have to do. And seeing possessions only as our stuff accumulated through the economy we live in, rather than a gift from God that others in our world created. And when we don't see those people, when we ignore those people, resentment increases. And those people can be any color, white, brown, or black. One commentator put it this way: resentment in all its forms is a kind of greed. Its root is a conviction that someone else has taken possession of something to which I am properly entitled to. Resentment, and therefore greed, shows up in all parts of the political spectrum. All parts. And the foundation of greed is fear. It is when we get into our not enough way of thinking that resentment and divisions occur. It is in our fear of scarcity, our necessity for there to be a right and a wrong, that all our current day divisions separate us. One of the things in both the first century and now that we have to see through the lens of our greed and resentment is our white privilege. As people of character and faith, we have to be willing to ask ourselves the hard questions. What are we not seeing, or seeing only through the eyes clouded by our long acceptance of being a privileged people? Where do we need to ask more questions to get to the truth, rather than being comfortable with our ill-informed assumptions? I don't believe we can get to the truth alone inside our own heads. I think it is essential to find people willing to wrestle with us about God's truth in all kinds of questions. People who will listen respectfully to each other's ideas, feelings, and concerns. We are a church. St. Andrew's is a church with a wide spectrum of viewpoints, and that's a gift. Telling the truth in love, though, takes trust, and that takes time and commitment from all of us. St. Paul this morning is helping the newly converted Colossians. We've been listening to him for the last 3 weeks. Helping them to keep their focus on the teachings and truth of Jesus and to keep connected to each other through faithful practices. I used to teach my middle school students when I was a school counselor that as teenagers, they needed to have 5 trusted adults who they could talk to when they were wrestling with some decision, and the 5 didn't include their folks, their parents. Now, I know some of you will bristle at this, but we are more like teenagers right now in our country. Our actions betray us every time. The elephant in the room is danced around, and we take pot shots from our side that will shut down any conversation in a heartbeat. The good news is that we come here every Sunday morning. in part to join a community of faith. And we have established a thin line of trust and comfort with each other across all the services. But we must increase that trust and comfort so that we can better keep our baptismal promises to God. Our baptismal covenant, we say yes to 5 different questions, but this morning there are 2 promises that I believe we can live into as a way to step through our adolescence and into the grace of a maturity that is within our reach. The first one, will you continue in the apostles' teaching, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in the prayers? We get the last 2. But pair up apostles' teaching and fellowship, and you have a bunch of small group opportunities that come together on a regular basis to wrestle with conversations that we all struggle with. And those small groups can't be made up of people who all think just like you do. And you know, my experience says that over time we become more comfortable, and the truth of our faith will show up over and over again using basic rules of civil engagement and respectful listening skills. The second covenant promise, will you seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving your neighbor as yourself? In the midst of our small group conversations, we could begin to see Christ in each other. And our eyes will widen to see Christ in those many others that you see all around you out in the world. Our privilege will become a smaller stumbling block as we experience a more generous, less fear-driven way of seeing the world around us. And it will activate our voices. We all will ask more questions of the people who have more experience with some aspects of life than we do, quite frankly. Like, what would it take to walk 2,000 miles for a safe place to live? And we will become better disciples of Christ and faithful Christians in community. And finally, we will become good stewards of God's creation that God has always believed that we could be. Ironically, the verses in the letter to the Colossians, just after the ones we heard today, give us the wisdom we actually need right now. So I will close, beginning at verse 13. No, 12. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. It's really hard to be thankful today. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom. And with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything In the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.